T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Second and 3. Down the field they go. Gronkowski has it at the 2-yard line.
The same play 3 times in a row. Edelman over the middle. Gronk on a seam. And the ball is perfectly thrown. And Littleton can't get there. Gronk lays out and catches it. 3 plays in a row. The exact same, Jim.
The top seed Duke with a 77-76 lead. UCF inbounding on the side of the front court. Allen will trigger. Everybody in the building scanning, all 18,000. Allen looking, gets it in up top to Taylor. 5 seconds, he's on the right wing. He drives inside, leans in, puts it up, no good. Tap back, no good by Dawkins. Duke rebounds, and the ball game is over. The Blue Devils escape, 77-66.
As we kick off 7 o'clock hour, I want to let you know Manny Diaz, University of Miami Hurricanes head coach, going to join us here in just a few minutes. We'll talk to Manny about spring football. We got so many things going on right now. It's a great time. We got baseball getting ready to start up. Marlins
That's
are
right.
breaking camp. They'll be ready to go be in town. We got seven home games to start the season at home.
A couple days away from opening day there.
We got the Miami Open going on right now, all of this week. We've got basketball back in town. We got the Miami Heat coming home after going 3-1 on their road trip, getting ready to play Orlando in a huge game. That would actually, if they lose it, they'd be tied for eighth position. So that's a big. So we got a lot of good stuff going on here right now in town. Of course, the tournament, especially. A lot more fun if you got brackets, right? A lot more fun to see how you're doing, and we've seen it now. We're down to our Sweet 16. I'm still not sure how Duke beat UCF.
We've seen the replay 10 times this morning, and now they're breaking it down.
Well, they're showing you the rebound. Nobody blocks out on the rebound. So
R.J. Barrett, gets it back huge up, offensive
throws
rebound.
Back in the easy two. And then the shot at the end of the game and the follow-up both looked like they had a chance to go in. And the tip-in, even a better chance to go in, rolls off the rim, and Duke holds on. I thought Duke was, before we even got into all that, they were up 4. And I was like, they got it. I mean, UCF's got it. Duke's going to lose this game. Going to be a terrible loss for Coach K. And they somehow come back and win that game.
Good teams find a way, right?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what.
You got to have a little luck in there.
You're done. You're going, how did – that would hurt. I mean, if you're UCF, you don't go, wow, Duke beat us. Well, they were supposed to. You're in that situation going, man, we had that friggin' game. They'll go through that last minute and a half and going, oh, my God, what happened? What happened? We had them. As good as they were in their starting five – it's the best in college basketball, but we had them. So,
well, it's not even a question. I mean, you're up 4 with, you know, whatever time was left on the clock. You should have won that game. And the good looks they had at the end there. Something should have dropped.
Yeah, well, they didn't have...
Especially with Zion shooting 3-pointers.
They didn't have the
Who
coach...
Who gave the green light on that one?
Well, listen, when you're wide open, he's going to take him. Coach K had the gods with him last night, for sure, the basketball gods, because... they somehow, if you watched it, crazy finish in that one. And if you're just looking at the seeds, it's real simple. Of the Sweet 16, all 4-1 seeds in, all 4-2 seeds in, all 4-3 seeds in, and 2 of the 4 seeds in.
Yep.
Could not make that up. So we got all that stuff. And, of course, maybe the biggest surprise last night is to find out Rob Gronkowski is retiring from the National Football League. New England Patriots tight end who has been so good, arguably in a lot of those 9 years outside of injury, the best tight end in football, ends up with 521 catches, almost 8,000 yards, and 79 touchdowns. I mean, he was a touchdown machine. We saw the big catches he made in the AFC Championship game to help him win. You saw the catches in the Super Bowl. He had the big one to set up the touchdown along with a lot of great blocks. But I think I look back, he did miss 29 games in his career. He got banged up a lot with knee and back and had a lot of different injuries, but a concussion, had one of those as well.
His back, everything, his elbow.
He's got to be. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer.
Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I don't know how fast they're going to put him in. He's got a big personality. The media liked him a lot, which I always throw that in because it does come into play. It just does.
But barring him getting, you know, arrested for at like a, you know, massage parlor in the next 5 years, he's a first ballot Hall of Fame guy, right?
He's going to go pretty fast. Yes, he's had some. You know, he should go down.
He's
now,
not an off-the-field guy.
He didn't
you
have
know?
Tony Gonzalez's long career. He didn't play till his mid or late 30s or whatever it is. Like,
but when he played, he was the most dominant tight end in the league.
Witten and those guys. But I will tell you this, for all around, and nobody's getting in for being a blocking tight end to the Hall of Fame, but you add that in there, it's kind of like talking about Johnny Bench, a great hitter, but he's also great defensively.
Sure.
To make him, Gronk's going to go down as one of the all-around greatest tight ends to ever play.
Yep.
He just is.
I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
And when he was in his prime, guys bounced off him. It was hilarious to watch. It was fun to see how big and physical he was. But, yeah, so he's gone. Good year for tight end. So I'm sure the Patriots with this class of will grab another tight end.
You got 5 picks in the top 100.
I was surprised. I was surprised, though, that he retired. 29 years old, going to be 30 in May. That one surprised me because he's been working out, been around down here working out a little bit. I thought he'd go one more year. And he still could change his mind. Nothing to keep you from changing your mind on retiring. But that one. Anyway, we got Manny Diaz going to join us coming up here. Week 2 of spring football. And we'll find out, of course, the number one question is, how are the quarterbacks doing? Do we have one? And we'll check in with some of the other guys and find out what Manny Diaz has to say about Lane Kiffin's comments. Says he doesn't like the transfer portal. We've had a few coaches actually come out and say they don't like the transfer portal. Didn't Lane, when he got down here, didn't he jump on a bunch of transfers?
Anyone who's disgruntled, anybody who wants to come play down here, you don't like where your situation is there, come play at FAU. But
now,
he's not pulling a lot of guys in, so I like it.
Manny took it to a whole new level. Manny was the king of the portal this year. He got it and got a lot of guys from the West Coast, picked up a guy or two from UCLA, USC, got them all over the country. And so we'll talk to Manny about all that stuff and the portal and the future of the portal and if he expects to use the portal. I'm guessing we won't portal out. Like we portaled this year, we won't portal out next year.
Who knows?
If you look at his recruiting class now,
a little bit better than.
I'm not gonna read into it. I have learned. 2020. It seems like they're getting 3 players every day now, right? Oh, he's committed. That guy committed. That guy committed. Oh, that guy sounds great, but it's only a verbal commitment. And you know what a verbal commitment when they're 16, 17, 18 years old means?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Means they had a great experience to start with you, right? But.
Love the visit. Love the phone call. I'm going to Miami. 6 months later, Miami's in my top 3. The year after that, when there's still a year left to go before he signs, Miami's definitely in my top 5. I have a final 5. Miami.
You know the biggest thing that's changed in college football, not that some weren't already doing it. When a school gets a long-time verbal commitment, a lot of schools, there used to be hey, Lee Maloney already made a verbal commitment. Now?
Not anymore.
Urban and the guy in Alabama? That means, to me, that just means opportunity. Hey, got your phone number, wanted to check, love to see you. Man, we got you highly recruited. How's you? You know, and they start hitting him with the pitch, and the guy goes, well, I guess a trip wouldn't hurt anything. I mean, I've earned some free trips to get wined and dined on the road. You're allowed recruiting trips.
Yeah, it's all it takes, right? Go to Alabama's facilities once, Ohio State's
or
once.
Or after a bad loss.
LSU's,
you
know,
hey,
yeah.
So your team didn't look very good.
Miami just loses to Pittsburgh in a bad game, and then you go to Ohio State for the weekend.
Yeah.
They just beat up on Michigan.
So I understand. I get it. That's why I'm cooling it on verbal commitments, even though we do get our updates all the time. We're going to go to break here. Manny will join us when we come back. We'll talk about some spring football. A lot of Canes fans want to know, how we doing at quarterback? Are we going to have one ready to go, Manny Diaz? So we'll find out when we come back.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, let's jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We're going to bring on University of Miami Hurricanes head football coach Manny Diaz, fresh off his TV, I'm not going to say debut, but right behind the broadcast
booth. He was fired up last night.
Throwing up the U during the women's college basketball games this weekend at the Watsco Center. Coach, very good promoting by you. Very good. If you don't get a bonus for that, I don't know what's going to get you a bonus, Coach.
Hey, you know, timing is everything, right?
Everything.
That's right.
Yep.
Hey, you got that down. Hey, week two of spring football. Let's jump right into it. Coach, I know it's early and you got physical and wanted to get your team going and everything else, but how far along are you as far as putting things in? I know you're putting a new system in offensively. Can you get a read on quarterbacks and picking up the system and everything else?
Still really early. You know, everybody's drinking out of a fire hose. You know, new things, you know, new terms, new schemes, but the big thing is don't let that affect your toughness, and that's really what we're trying to hold them. The familiarity with what to do will come. It's the how to do it, you know. And if we just play hard and tough and physical, and let that show, impress the coaches right now with your physicality and your toughness.
Coach, all right, so full pads on Friday. We saw that in the papers. We saw that from the reporters. The big cane drill. What talk a little bit more about that? What the heck is that?
That's just simple, you know. You circle the whole team up, call a guy out, you call another guy out, and you say, here we go. Someone's trying to knock someone backwards, the other guy's trying to knock the other guy backwards. But, you know, the cool thing about it is everybody gets to watch, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to expose the guys that don't have the toughness to compete for championships at Miami. And it's not to the coaching staff, it's to the teammate, you know, to the locker room. And, you know, it's crazy. You know, a lot of times in the course of a season, you may not actually have a guy really show up one way or another, so your toughness is in question. And we say, you know, if your toughness is ever in question, that's a bad thing. You want to be known throughout the locker room as a tough guy, and that's just gives us an opportunity to do that.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, I saw Lane Kiffin comments about not liking the transfer portal. He says about players getting attention and getting re-recruited. James Franklin had some other stuff about players need to overcome adversity and all that. What are your thoughts after it was such a big part of your recruiting class and the future of the portal?
Well, you know, both thoughts can be true at the same time. I'm curious to see when it's all said and done after, you know, I'm sure there'll be another group of transfers potentially after spring ball. What do the numbers really look like?
Yeah.
Did more kids actually transfer, or is it just really a fancy name, you know, that got everybody – you know, sort of stir it up. So, you know, all we've done is we've just removed needing to ask the school for permission to contact another school. But, you know, you could argue that every kid that we got as a transfer could have gotten through the old rules. So, I'm curious, you know, where it goes. But there's no doubt. And then there's going to be another side to the portal, which is the kids that entered their names into the portal that didn't find a home. One thing that Coach Kiffin brought up that does need to be addressed is that we have to be able to replace the scholarship numbers, because if we can only bring in 25 initials, you know, over 1,000 some odd names enter the portal. Well, those kids can all be removed from aid at their school by entering into the portal. That was sort of the catch. And they don't all have a place to go, because we're all, you know, think about it, we didn't increase the amount of scholarships, right? So you got all these high school kids who,
right,
you know, we're signing and trying to find a place. And then you've got all these kids in the portal, but we didn't increase the number, and you're not going to increase the total number, but you have to increase the initial count that you can bring in. And so that there is a little bit of a, you know, I guess we're working it as we go along.
Well, I guess the other part of it is see how they all work out too, right? How many of them end up being successful? How many are starters? How many aren't playing much or end up going away? I think those numbers will be interesting too. But, yeah, everybody's calling it free agency of college football. I'm still not so sure it's a bad thing. I really not. It's a great opportunity to have more competitive football if you get the right guys. Would you agree with that?
I think in the right situation, like you're saying, it could go there, right? And competition is a good thing. But I don't think it is an era of fringes. And I think everybody's, you know, trying to go a little bit far with that. Because, again, these cases, in terms of getting the waivers, especially to play right away. I mean the ability, if you want to go and sit, and that's one thing. But to play right away, those are all very unique cases. And the NCAA has got a hard job in terms of ruling specifically for each case, because they'll see one case, well, this kid got eligible. How come our kid didn't get eligible? And then right. they're all different stories. And very often the story's really not known publicly. And that's why it's hard in the court of public opinion to try to judge which guys should be and should not be eligible.
Manny Diaz, head football coach of the University of Miami, joining us right now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. All right, Joe brought it up for a second, the quarterback situation. With Jaren Nicosi and Tate, are you seeing like a nice competition, like a real fierce competition between those three guys? Because I know that, as I've read, you're switching off who goes first out there, who goes second. But are you seeing – this is what you wanted, right? You wanted a nice competition at every position, but I think you got one at the most important one, I guess, for your team, right?
We do. And the cool thing is the competition isn't just, on the field. I mean they've got to compete in the meeting room, in terms of how they answer questions. I mean, they got to compete in terms of how they walk around this building. They got to compete in terms of, what they do, when they're not in this building. So it is the quarterback position under the job requirements, this is a 24-hour-a-day job. So the guy that is absolutely compelled to be the starting quarterback at UM, eventually that's going to show. So the part where they actually get to throw balls, so that's going to be a big factor too. But can they handle the totality of what it means to be the quarterback at Miami?
Manny, we've talked so much about Tate Martell as one of those top portal guys and the transfer. We've heard he's real confident. He always got 15 guys around him when he's talking. Have you noticed all that stuff in him? There's a little cockiness to him, a little strut.
Well, you can definitely tell, he's got some of that demeanor, like you're saying. But I think what Tate's done a nice job of is, not wanting to come in and rub everybody the wrong way. He's coming in right now just trying to be a good teammate. What he's trying to do is just be show the team that he's a hard worker
right.
in the off-season program, show the team that he's a do-right guy off the field, and because ultimately the team will respect those things first. And then the same thing with his toughness and then the other part will start to go out and his personality will start to expand. So, it's always a little awkward with all these kids, not
yeah.
just Tate, when you are bringing in these transfers, how do they enter into the locker room and get absorbed by our guys and our culture. And I think he's walked that line nicely.
Coach, were you surprised? I was a little bit last year. I know you're a defensive coordinator a year ago that Jaren Williams didn't somehow get some playing time. That was kind of obviously the guy that's not playing is always more popular, but did that surprise you? And have you seen growth in him?
Well, it's really, really, really hard. And you can remember this, Joe, to prepare three quarterbacks, and once you kind of come out of training camp and you've got a one and a two and you sort of, set the ship and to sail, the third guy's just not getting very many reps. So short of having to do some sort
yeah.
of, put a guy out the pasture or whatever,
right.
it would just be tough. And I agree with you. I mean, obviously everybody likes the guy that's not playing. And we think, Jaren has all the tools to be the guy, but it probably would have been unfair to throw him in there in that
okay.
situation.
No, I was just curious because you saw him every day. I said, listen, Manny Diaz sees Jaren Williams running all his stuff, so nobody knows him better than the new head coach. You'd agree with that, right?
Yeah, no,
what he can and can't do, right?
Yeah, we work. That's what we do. We stand in front of those guys and look them in the eye and defend them every day in practice. So you do get a chance to see what they're all about.
Coach, I got to ask you one more question on that big cane drill. Did I read that Jaren Williams and Nicosi Perry met in the middle also? You have your quarterbacks in this drill too? Are you nuts?
We had quarterbacks. We had long snappers in this drill. We had everybody.
That's crazy, Coach.
Nobody wanted to go against that punter, Coach. That big badass. Nobody wanted to go there, man.
There's nothing more important than the toughness of your quarterback. That might arguably be job description number one.
I agree. Right? No, so, totally.
So, again, we're going to find out, you know, to me, what are we going to do? We're going to find out in March. If we're tough, we're going to find out in October, November. From my experience, when you find out in October, November, you normally don't get the answer you want. So, hey, let's find out right now.
Coach, I want to ask you about some guys here real quickly. Mark Pope comes in, gets recruited by everybody in the country. You guys get the hometown kid. Have you seen growth? I saw the story. You spent time with him. He even thought about leaving. He was so frustrated. He wasn't playing a lot and getting the ball thrown to him. What has it been like? Have you seen growth, and have you spent time with him?
Yeah. I mean, guys like Mark, and he's not alone. You know, they're going through, you know, they go through their normal freshman blues, which happens. They come in with so much expectation. And normally that expectation's external. You know, people, good intending people on the outside, you know, what's going on? Why this?
Of course.
Puts a lot of pressure on the kid, who in reality, when they all come here, they all just have to learn how to improve and learn how to get better and learn how to be the best player that they can be. And I think the neat thing with Mark and, you know, all of our receivers and all of our guys on offense is that they all sort of have a new starting point. You know, they have a new, everybody starts from zero, and last year is gone and forgotten. And now we've got a competition to really find out what we have at wide receiver. And it just gets to the point of, like, stop worrying about, you know, the expectation you're trying to fill and just worry about getting better and being the best guy you can be. And sometimes when they shift their focus from there because, they feel like they had to come in and win the Blitnikoff in year one, and we just know that's usually not realistic.
Coach, what about Jeff Thomas? I know that obviously with everything with him leaving or coming back, like, how much has he been a good guy in the locker room for you now because he kind of understands the UM tradition or whatever? Like, what has he brought back to this locker room now after coming back to this team?
Well, the team has a lot of respect for Jeff because they know that Jeff can help us win football games. You know, I mean, he's just a different guy when the ball is under his arms. He just, you know, when you watch him run routes, you watch what he can do after the catch, it's just different, you know, and again, some of the issues that we had, that Jeff had in the past were, you know, correctable for sure. And in some ways preventable. And I think, again, he has bought into the way we're doing things around here and is doing a good job of, you know, walking the line with everybody else and being a good guy.
Manny, one of the first things out of your mouth for spring football, I always love this because everybody does it, was the leadership and finding leaders. And by the way, even from last year's leaders, make sure that they're jumping on the leadership board this year. I always wonder with this. Do you have to be a great player to be a leader? Do you think you have to be a great player to be a leader?
Do you have to be a great player to be a leader? No, because guys will respect. Like I said, yeah, guys normally follow work ethic and toughness. But they still want to follow a guy that's going to help them win. So there does, you know, you in a program, you have different types of leaders. You got guys that are
right.
Great leaders in the weight room, you know, in the offseason program. But then when it does turn into ball time, there are times when, you know, it's important that guy that's going to step up in that game. Now you can be a great player and not be a leader because that may not be your mental makeup. But you know, guys want to follow the guy that's going to make the play on third down one way or the other, you know, and because they know that, you know, everybody likes winning a heck of a lot more than losing.
Coach, you're a couple days into your first spring practices. How are you doing as a head coach during all this now? What's the difference now?
You're not
now
running
for you?
To the defense all
yeah.
the time, are you, Coach?
No. I'm actually fine. Not at all. You know what? I'm enjoying the heck out of it. The coolest thing is just watching this staff go. I'm so blessed to have guys, and you just watch them coach guys both sides of the ball and you know, really getting after them and holding them to a high standard. And you just, you know, you watch that and then, you know, you just sort of, you know, I'm learning a lot just watching them work and watching them go, and our players are really benefiting from it.
Coach, also while this is all going on, the recruiting stuff's coming out and you're hitting that really hard. Has the focus been, I know you're going to tell me it always is, but class-wise, somebody asked me, how good's the talent for recruiting in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach so we don't get in trouble? That question. How is it this upcoming year?
The talent this year, it's going to be what it always is. It's really, really good, and it's still where we have to start and where we have to win. And, we've been sort of rebuilding some relationships of some kids that really like Miami and then sort of fell off. But the most important thing is that when we get the kids on our campus, what they're telling us is that they can they can tangibly see the difference and they can feel it. And they're hearing it from our guys in the locker room, which is what really counts,
yeah.
You know, is that there's really, really positive things going on here and we're getting that vibe back. And that's ultimately what, you know, we have to create a program that young men want to come and play in. You know, we have to be a choice, not just because we're the hometown choice, we're the hometown choice and we're the spot you want to be in no matter where we are. And that's, you know, that's what we are. It's a process, and ultimately we're going to have to, you know, do it on the field on Saturdays in the fall, but that's what we're trying to get done.
Coach, for recruiting purposes, I always wonder, is it more about the player, the parent, whoever it might be, aunt, uncle, mom, dad, combo, or the coach? What would you say, where does everybody fit in as far as importance of recruiting?
It's different for every kid.
Okay.
There's no doubt. You're always trying to find out who the champion in their life is.
Correct.
You know, sometimes it might be the mom. Sometimes it might be, you know, the uncle. Some kids may you know, rely more on their coach. And you got to be broad, and you got to find out everybody that's, you know, got the young man's ear and try and find out exactly who that is to help get them on your side as well. But a lot of times, you know, it's still, you know, the kids usually in their gut, they have an idea where to go. And what's happened in recruiting is that this thing has turned into a, you know, almost 2.5 year process, which is a really, really long time to think about something.
It's crazy.
And it's crazy. Yeah. And so, you know, and that's where they need guidance. And the ones that don't have it often get, you know, eaten up by this recruiting thing a little bit. And so, you know, it's a wacky deal, and thank goodness they only have to go through it once.
Coach, how nice is it having that indoor facility, by the way?
Oh.
Now that you got that going full strong.
You can't even measure the impact it's had on our program, you know, and that's where, again, and you can't mention the indoor facility without mentioning, you know, of all the things that Mark Rick left this program. I mean, this, as a gift, you know, it doesn't happen without his vision. Obviously, it doesn't happen without Carol Sofer's vision, but it has changed everything. It changes our off-season program. It changes the way that our players can function if they want to come out and just, you know, throw and catch and do whatever. You know, certainly it changes our recruiting. And then today, the fact that we have our pro day in this beautiful facility with the entire NFL showing up, it's just a fantastic, you know, asset for the University of Miami.
By the way, so you stay out there and watch the whole pro day, which is obviously huge for the school and for a bunch of your players. You watch the whole thing?
Yeah, we'll watch our guys compete and go through, and obviously a lot of our younger players. I mean, this is a big day for them. They love to watch that and see what the, and you want to see our guys look at. I mentioned the word. You want to see them compete. You know, today's not everything. You know their real job audition took place in the fall, but
right.
You want to see you want to show that, you know, hey, guys that come out of Miami, they're always successful in the NFL because why? Because they're tough and they know how to compete, and that's what we're trying to build this program on, and you want to see it, you know, show up on pro day.
Coach, we've talked about this with the Miami Dolphins in the past. Somebody comes to you and asks you a question about a certain player. Do you have an obligation to tell the truth? Because I see both sides of it, like, man, it's not a big deal. He's great. Not necessarily completely truthful with the team because you want to protect your player because he's a damn good player for you. How do you treat that?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. We have to do the same thing when we go recruiting. We talk to the high school coach. You know, I mean, the thing that we make sure with our staff is we're never ever ever negative. You know, so you want to be, you know, I mean, we want to be men of integrity in everything we do anyway. So yes, you know, you're not going to lie, you're not going to make things up. But there's still, you know, certainly positive ways to say things if there ever was a concern that
right.
you had. And to be honest, a lot of time the way they do their homework, they know the answer to the question before they ask you anyway.
True.
So we're always gonna promote our guys. We're always gonna be positive of our guys. These guys have done, you know, they've shed the blood and sweat here at UM. So it's our obligation to make sure we help them out, either getting a job in the NFL or anywhere else afterwards.
We can't get enough of you, man.
No.
We've kept you so far. They're screaming at us,
yes,
Manny.
Yes, Coach. Manny, thank you.
My pleasure, guys. Always fun.
All right.
That's Manny Diaz, University of Miami Hurricanes head football coach, joining us.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
And now, it's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Hollywood, what do you got for us here this morning?
All right, Joe, we have something first off. Very exciting. DQ is back with us this
morning.
I do.
It's I do, not DQ.
Well, you announced it many times last week.
Did you guys really talk about me last week?
Yes.
Well, that's okay.
Oh, I didn't know if we were supposed to.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, congratulations. DQ is engaged now, and you have advice for him, right?
Oh, now you want to hear what I said to him during the break.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
the clean version.
Joe came in here like a father to me.
DQ, you weren't offended by what I just said.
No, not at all.
DQ is very young, so I said while we were in the break, I said, DQ, can I just say something to you? You're not going to get married yet. You know, you're going to wait till you guys get more established. And he goes, yeah.
We have other priorities in mind.
See, that's good.
Before the wedding, the big day.
Your maturity level is so much higher than mine, just to hear you talk.
That's not hard.
No question.
Did you give him the best advice ever?
No.
The old Joe Rose advice?
Which one?
Cheaper to keep her? Just be careful?
No question about that. Okay. But
I mean, it's something down the road. You don't need that
honestly,
right now.
Honestly, I didn't do that. I just wanted to make sure you weren't. I just wanted to make sure. Like my mother was a teenager when she had me. I just wanted to make sure you weren't like in a. Tell me you're getting married in like 4 months.
No. We're in no rush for the big wedding. She's super excited. She's already starting to plan things, which like is kind of overwhelming. Well,
that's fine. Let her, but tell her she got 3 years to plan. She didn't have to do it right away.
We're 3 years, huh?
Maybe 2021, 2022. Possibly.
I like 2022 for you. Yeah.
I think by then he'll hate the three of us, and none of us are going to that wedding.
Well, you know, his makeup's a little different than yours. Like you're over here telling him your life story, so he's a little bit. Built a little bit differently than you.
Well, everybody likes a train wreck, right?
I mean, my God, man.
Everyone watches NASCAR for the car crash, right?
I can't tell you my situation, yeah, but I put the D in dysfunction when I got married the first time back
and
here.
The D in divorce.
And the D in divorce. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
thank
I'm
you.
Sorry.
Thank you for the congratulations. Yeah. I appreciate it.
It was very romantic.
No, I didn't mean to ruin it. Congratulations. It was great.
Thank you, guys.
All right, you want to get into
my radio family.
What else happened over the weekend here?
Didn't sound real good there. What a
poor Q. Right, congrats, so Q. Mazel tov.
That's to the NBA here, and our best buzzer beater of the weekend might have been in the Hornets-Raptors game.
Did you see my God, yeah.
Jeremy Lamb did. Here's how it sounded on Hornets radio.
3.1 to go. Hornets down by two. Bacon. On the bounce to Jeremy Lamb. It's poked away. A heave. It's gone. He hit it. It's gone. He banks it. And Bencourt and the Hornets win it. Your Hornets knocked off the Raptors at the horn. Are you kidding me? They're at the replay center. They got a look. It's good. The Hornets win it. 115-114.
Wow. That's a hell of a win. That is really
that's a hell of a call.
Unbelievable win. Keeps them two games behind.
Yep.
Imagine being one of the 10 people listening to that.
Stop it. God. Jeez.
You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
Big Baller Brand may be nearing its end here, gentlemen, as both of the Ball brothers here, Lonzo and LaMelo, posted over the weekend basically that they are leaving the Big Baller Brand. Lonzo posted on Instagram a picture of himself in his Nike Lakers jersey, using the Nike tagline, it's only a crazy dream until you do it. He also posted that he was moving on to bigger and better. Of course, LeBron, the rest of his guys liked the post. And LaMelo commented on the post, thanking Lonzo for getting them both out.
What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. That's when father gets involved in stuff. His kid lost $1.5 million. They got scammed. Because Big Mouth got in there. Man, I tell you.
Anyone get those shoes yet? Can you
by
get
the way,
are they
that's
ready?
That's what I'd like to know. Did all those guys that did buy shoes?
Yeah.
I'm on their emailing list for the Big Baller Brand. I think I signed up like right when it started, and they just had a spring cleaning sale. Everything on their entire site was 40% off.
Okay.
Here's my question again.
I'm waiting
Has
for
anyone
50
gotten some
I
of
pounce.
The shoes yet? Are
well,
they
if it's
ready?
50, I'm in. 50% off.
I don't know if the shoes would be interesting if they actually had made them.
Yeah. I mean, this is the greatest Ponzi scheme ever.
I'll tell you what, the old man had a real good partner in there. Really, real trustworthy guy in there.
How about the two sons saying, peace out, thank you for getting us away from this? Like, that's bad.
Why didn't somebody step up to him to start with?
Because they were afraid of
that idea.
Big Mouth, LeVar.
Jeez. Anyway, what else you got, Woody?
All right, guys. Finally, to Johnny Manziel, who made his AAF debut.
How'd he do?
For the Memphis Express. He was tremendous. 3 of 5, 48 yards, and he had 2 rushes for 20 yards. And he didn't start in the game. Some other guy started, and Johnny kind of rotated with the other guy. The problem was when the other guy kept getting put back in, the fans were booing and chanting, "We want Johnny." His name is Brandon Silvers. I have no idea who he is.
Yeah. Well, Johnny will get that job here pretty soon and get a chance now that he's got a little more free time. He doesn't have to worry about marriage and stuff.
That Mike Singletary's his coach, right?
That looks like it didn't go real well. Yeah, Mike Singletary says he wants to see Johnny football.
Can't do it. Can't win with him.
Can't win with him.
And the pieces may be coming together on the Johnny Manziel Bree Tiesi situation here. Remember, we talked about it on Friday. Yeah. She wiped the Instagram. A lot of people have been commenting on her Instagram, and she's been writing back to people. One of her responses to an Instagram user: "You've been married with a question mark. You've been betrayed with a question mark. I don't do betrayal for a person I was devoted to, period. Vows were broken. Bleep money and bleep you and every other loser on here."
Wow.
Ooh, Johnny. So now we got a new one, Johnny Cheater.
Yeah. Oof.
Allegedly. Let's wait.
Yeah.
Okay, Johnny's a good guy. Let's wait.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Didn't she cheat during a marathon?
She did. She did cheat during her marathon.
But she cheated in a race, not cheated in the marathon.
No, it's a great point because, I mean, she's a dishonest person.
Because she cheated in a – well, you can't put – taking a little shortcut in a marathon.
You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a cheater.
She ran in a – she drove in a golf cart during
– that's a little different, cheating in the marriage.
It's just – it's a charity.
It can really hurt your partner when you do that. It's very hurtful.
It's not on the same level, but it shows that she's a dishonest person.
Yeah.
All right, Hollywood. Jeez, you do it.
I would cheat in a race, too, probably, because I can't physically do it. But
yeah.
I wouldn't lie about it afterwards.
Well, can we jump in the 8 o'clock hour here? We got a lot of good stuff to get to here, man. Stay with us. 8 o'clock hour coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.